Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And welcome to the NXT Review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to review everything that happened on last night's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review the show formerly known as NXT, but...
Oh! What else on Monday Night Raw from SmackDown?
Pay-per-views, premium live events, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to review last night's NXT, the go-home show ahead of NXT Delane this weekend. And to use a Michael Sidgwick phrase, think of the ground this covers. This show had everything.
It had a lot. It had a lot here, yeah, man. For the second time this week, when previewing... very cynically, a WWE TV product. My very snarky, apathetic, they'll probably do this
yeah.
Take actually happened.
I'm terribly sorry, Mrs. Sidgwick. Your husband has WWE brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry, Pepe H. Your terrible product was correctly guessed by someone who wanted to take the piss out of it with laser focus and got it right.
I got to say, you know, when AEW came along and it was hailed as this alternative to WWE, and people said, guys, it's the wrestling buffet. Bollocks. This is the wrestling buffet. This is chicken legs, vol-au-vents, coleslaw, tiramisu, just everything, just chucked out there. If you're not watching NXT, you're missing out.
You are missing out.
Because, yes, you'll watch some stuff, and trust me, we're going to bury it on this, that you'll go, what the fuck are you doing? You do know this is going out on television, right? But don't worry, because if it's something you don't like, someone else is going to be along in 5 minutes. It's not Raw. You ain't got to go, oh, fucking 20 minutes of this. They'll be like, right, okay, the bird person's coming. I love this. It's my favourite show of the year, this, I think. Because it's just, it never fails to surprise me in all the ways that you can take that as.
It's something. It really
a
is.
Go home show for a pay-per-view and you had this.
It's something.
Not all bad, by the way.
No. Mostly, but not all.
Right, let's get into it because, well, there's a lot to get into. Normally when we go, oh, gone a bit long because we're talking about Raw and like that's 3 hours, or Dynamite because I'm going into lots of detail about the matches. If we gave 5 minutes to every single segment of this show, we wouldn't do any other podcast today. We'd be coming out of the studio at 5 p.m. going, it was quite a long one, that one, to be honest. So let's just dive straight into it because the show opened with the wild card match to see who's the final competitor in that Iron Survivor Challenge on Deadline at the weekend. It was Von Wagner versus Andre Chase versus Axiom. And I had a load of fun watching this.
I had an incredible amount of fun. It wasn't an incredible match, but my God, it was engaging.
Yeah, like it was a fairly simple story. Von Wagner is a monster and can wreck both of these dudes. And so, you know, you've got, on the one hand, Axiom.
Nerd!
And on the other hand, Andre Chase.
Oh, teachable moment! teachable moment.
So they have to kill the guy who's obviously, out of the three people in the match, got the most hard. So they team up on him. He still wrecks both of them regardless. At one point, I think he military pressed Axiom outside of the ring onto Andre Chase. That was a great spot. We go to break, we come back. There's a Tower of Doom spot. And Chase gives Axiom a superplex onto Von Wagner. He's just a cushion now at this point. Andre Chase gets a bit of a moment to shine. He fires up. He does the Chase U stomps that always gets a reaction from me. He hit a sort of double underhook sit out power bomb on Axiom. They got a near fall that, oh, maybe he's going to be getting into it. Axiom, because he's really talented, by the way, and doesn't need all this bollocks. Counters Chase, puts him in an armbar. Von Wagner breaks that up. So Axiom puts him in a triangle. And Von Wagner, like this, this is it. We take the piss out of him, but there's something there. Because he's in a triangle and he just deadlifts Axiom power bombs him on top of Andre Chase and then gets a near fall with a butterfly suplex. Then it looks like Chase might get it. He gets a double DDT on Wagner and Axiom. Comes off the top, crossbodies Wagner, but the momentum takes him out of the ring. Axiom nails a flying dropkick on Wagner. 1, 2, 3. He qualifies for the match. He's, you know, the most talented, so it makes the most sense. But I had a load of fun, and I couldn't see where this match was going to go.
This was really well done. This was really well done. Structurally, it was not too dissimilar to virtually every single triple threat match you've ever seen. And we've seen four already this week, and it's Wednesday. So this did well to succeed as wildly as it did beyond my expectations, because I've just watched two triple threats. WWE does kind of the same match every single time, particularly when they go home in on a genre. But like, there was just certain saves, there were certain dramatic swings and momentum, like with the crossbody that you've just pointed out, though I thought were really creative. And ultimately, right, dare I say, within the parameters of this ridiculous universe where there is a college campus and a college from which you get a degree or a diploma, and yet they did such a good job here of baby-facing Andre Chase that you're kind of going to be a little bit good when Duke Hudson takes it over, if that indeed is where the story's going.
Plus protect Thea Hale at all costs.
Yes, absolutely. Just Andre Chase, like, what a character he is. Like, I think I'm coming around on Chase U.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. That pedantic part of me can never, ever let that go. I can never let anything go. It's part of my constitution. But my God, great babyface performance of Andre Chase. Overlapping with the Duke Hudson story, which is coming in for potentially a heartbreaking conclusion, or like a really cathartic twist when Andre Chase wins out and JC finally gets that win, and they never get a win. They come agonizingly close every single time and they never ever get a win. This dorky group of jumped up morons. People are kind of falling for them. And you can never get an accurate barometer. These people in the performance center will go mental for anything.
Mm.
But my God, they are going to make a heartbreaking when they get turned on. And it's genuinely, like, really quite good. Andre Chase is the babyface worker of the week so far for me.
Out of every storyline, all right, maybe not the, I mean, because I don't think they're going to sort out the trio's best of seven on Dynamite, for example. Out of every storyline, Sami Zayn, Bloodline, that's not going to happen either, aside, I really don't want this to happen during our Christmas break, because I'm going to be devastated if we don't get to cover this beat by beat, because I love it. I think it's great. And Axiom's, you know, insanely talented. We already knew that. But I just love Von Wagner, the big lummox that he is. He's great. He's great. He's perfect in these sorts of matches. Because like you say, triple threats go by a formula. Two guys have a match whilst one of them lays on the outside. But when the two guys, well, the baby faces, but still, have taken out that other guy with such vigour like we had here, you're like, yeah, I buy that Von Wagner's going to be like, I'm going to need a minute to recover from all that. So, yeah, good stuff. And the right person qualifies to put the best match on Saturday.
Absolutely.
We got vignettes throughout the night from all the women involved in the Iron Survivor Challenge thing, because on the other side, the men were going to get the main events, and we'll get to that.
Tony Khan booked this.
Cora Jade says, oh, I've done anything and everything to get to where I am, to become the number one woman in NXT. Break friendships, cheat, etc., etc. I'll sink to any depths to be the first female Iron Survivor. And then we cut to the trainer's room. Julius Creed's getting checked over after, obviously, his recent run-in with the Locker Room Leaders, as we are calling them as a tag team. And he's cleared. Good news. He's cleared to compete. But then Ivy Nile says, right, his leg's fine, but what about his ribs? Bruce is like, what are you doing, Ivy? She's like, I'm just making sure. And then the trainer, incredibly rapid assessment, this just goes, yeah, your ribs are buggered, mate. You can't fight. You're not cleared. And the Creeds are unhappy. But Ivy says, I'm protecting Julius.
Well, what's going on here?
I don't know. I think there probably is a shoot injury,
yeah,
if I'm guessing, because I assume they were going to put this on the pay-per-view, a premium live event. But yeah, issues, let's say, within Diamond Mine, if that's
again.
Where's Roderick Strong?
He must be injured.
Yeah. I know he had the neck. I know he was, you know, storyline injured, but I thought the whole thing was like he's coming back, and we were like, oh, he might cost Julius Creed in that match, yeah, with Damon Kemp, but he's just, yeah. He's going to come back and reunite the group.
I understand it's a weekly episodic serial, and conflict drives all of it all of the time. But can we have like 3 weeks of a nice run on top, or like 3 months rather of a nice run on top for Diamond Mine, so that when the cracks appear in it again, you feel like, ah, oh, it's a shame.
Yes.
Really bloody dominating the respective divisions and all the rest of it. But my God, this tension within the Diamond Mine, it's a joke.
Yeah. So obviously just me and Sige today reviewing NXT, previewing AEW Dynamite. Michael Hamflett working from home today. All good. He just, you know, just working from home today. He'll be back on Friday. So on his microphone stand, I've just hung a sign, Sige, that says, gone fishing. Because that's exactly what the world champion and the number one kid. I've never seen this.
I did.
I know they did it recently.
No, I saw it, much like Apollo Crews. I saw it in my mind did, yeah, yesterday, because I knew they were going to do this.
I was like, sorry, you've had them, you break bread at a diner. You had Apollo Crews them separately, Bron Breakker, gone fishing 2 weeks ago. Your go-home angle for the world title matches. What if they go fishing together? I mean,
just imagine a boat with like a camera operator. What are those mics? The boom mics.
Boom!
Just a farce. An absolute farce that I loved.
So Bron Breakker's going out fishing. Apollo Crews turns up and is like, can I get involved? And they go out, and Bron teaches Apollo how to fish, I suppose. And Cruz is like, well, I'm pretty good at this, just like in the wrestling ring. And Bron's like saying, oh, your standing moonsault's good. Whenever I try that, I'll land on my bloody face. They're all very amicable and all this, and there's a bit of, like, you know, ribbing between the two of them. He says, you know, why do you do this, Bron? Why'd you go fishing all the time? Is it to relieve your stress or what? And Bron talks, and he also reads his Wikipedia page about all the people he's beaten to retain this title. And Bron says, you lose a match as champion, that's everything you work for. Kind of like fish or something. Cruz catches a fish, and they're like, hey, got a fish, and they put
got
it
a
back.
Fish.
Bron says, congratulations. I look forward to facing you on the pay-per-view, I suppose. And they go, oh, you show me mine, I'll show you yours, my game plan. And Bron says, may the best man win. And Cruz concludes by saying, hey, Bron, hey, don't worry, just because I've caught a fish. Today wasn't your day. Neither will NXT deadline. What is this?
My favourite thing about this, which of course is the perverse enjoyment of it rather than the content itself, okay, is that it's stupid enough to picture there's a camera crew on a separate boat filming all of this action with like close-ups and all the rest of it, right? This is a particularly stupid example of WWE operating in this absolutely stupid and uneasy space between a drama series where the characters don't know they are being filmed.
Yes.
And as a sport where they not only do know they are being filmed, they actively seek the reaction of those who are doing the watching, whether they want to wind them up, whether they want to reach out their hands and beg for their support when they need a little bit of just crowd support to drive their comebacks and their spirit and just say, come on, I need someone to pick me up.
G me up, yeah.
So I know by their in-ring psychology and crowd psychology that they are aware that they are being watched by people, because the people who watch them are a direct participant in their lives. And yet you get a segment like this where they can't possibly know they're being filmed because they're on a boat. And there'll be it's not like a backstage promo where it's like, cameras, we are here with, what have you got to say to the people? Why should they watch your match? Or something that would happen in New Japan or AEW, right? And I just was so amused by this. And another thing I love about it, okay, again, not the content, is that it's one thing. Bron Breakker, right, who doesn't know he's being filmed this time, to have watched the tape on Apollo Crews when he's having his various diner moments. And going, I know that joint. It's off 48th.
Route 64.
Or whatever, yeah. The weird road names over there. Do you know how many glades there are in Florida?
Yeah.
There are a lot, right? So the idea is either Apollo Crews has somehow, so I recognize that reed. that has to be in this glade or swamp or river or lake or whatever. That's not what's happened here. You can't possibly have ascertained the location of Bron Breakker from that vignette a fortnight ago alone.
Mm.
Does that mean, therefore, that he's trial and errored it? That he's just driven around, right, from glade to glade with Breaker's itinerary, right? Okay, well, he's going out with Cora Jade, so they're probably going for dinner later. He's not doing that. He starts at the gym. He would eat breakfast, brunch, lunch, dinner. He's probably there. And that amount of time, that block of time, he's probably gone fishing. But where?
Yeah.
Right, let's drive around every body of water in the place near Breaker's residence. Or has he followed him? How has he found him?
Well, it's a good point you said this, because remember when we went to see Inception first time? You sort of get out and you go like, sorry, what, how's it work again with the levels? And like jumping and dying and going to purgatory and going back up to the top, and there's that, someone drew a graph of like, right, here's the first level of dreaming, then they go down to the second level, and you're like, right, okay. Because now I'm questioning, if Apollo Crews can see into the future...
That's it then.
Yeah, but can he see into the future where he drives to one of the glades and doesn't find Bron Breakker? And therefore, does he not have to do that because that's happened in the future, so he can rule that out? Or does he still have to live that experience? Or is it like a butterfly thing? I don't know. They went fishing.
If he doesn't go to the right glade, as was determined by the unfolding of time itself... something bad and unfathomable happens over which he has no control.
Yeah.
Like, so you might have killed a guy. Sorry, you were on the road here, okay? And you drove to the wrong glade, right? Mm. What you were meant to do, right, was drive on another road to another glade. But the fact that your car wasn't there, right, to warn... another driver to jolt them out of their sleep, if they'd fallen asleep at the wheel, see the headlights and they go, oh my God,
whoa,
I need to swerve off the road. Oh God, that was a near miss. What if that car wasn't there and the driver who had the near miss instead just sort of drove off into like a bridge or something like that?
I don't know. Yeah, he
killed a guy.
How does seeing into the future work if you don't then subsequently live that future? I think we might be overthinking it, but I thought it was an intriguing way to set us up for the pay-per-view. I'll say that. Bryson Montana's in the ring, but then out come the locker room leaders. God, I really like it when they kick people's ass. I got to say this. Batter him, and then who should come out for the match, I think, that had been booked? The big body Javi, who's like, jackpot, this guy's dead. And then he realizes that locker room leaders Sanger and Veer are still in the ring, and he goes, oh, bloody hell, bloody pulled out me, haven't I? Better go back to trainer's room. And so he hightails it out of there. And Veer and Sanger get on the mic and say, look, we don't want to face the Creeds until they're 100%. Destroying them before that doesn't interest them. They respectfully decline the challenge by the Creeds until they're back, but don't keep them waiting. And Julius and Brutus come out, but Ivy Nile and officials are like, you can't do it, you're not cleared, etc., etc. I just love Big Body Javi, I've got to be honest.
I did. We'll move on to why I hate the character now.
No.
I do like the character. The way it's all being played off is not for me, and I'll get to that imminently. This was a decent means. It's good that they've established that they want the 100%.
Mm.
So much so that I'm thinking this is all a work of some kind to enable friction within the Diamond Mind or whatever, because they've said this all along. Mm. So it would be very convenient if this has actually happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care that much.
More on Big Body Javi in a little bit.
Yeah.
I mentioned her earlier. I love Thea Hale as a character. She's Scrappy-Doo. She's the Scrappy-Doo of Chase U. She bursts into the locker room. Andre, she goes, oh, bloody hell, what a match I've had in Duke Hudson's day. It's all right, mate, don't worry about it. And she's like, oh, great news, guys. I've got a match tonight. Isla Dawn. And Duke Hudson's like, no bloody way. She's like, yes, Wayne. He's like, no way. You shouldn't fight her. She's insane, basically. And she's like, oh, no, I got a match. I want to wrestle. And Mr. Chase, what do you say? And she's like, if you want to have a match, have a match. Duke's like, Professor, I really think she should be doing that. By the way, Thea Hale is so giddy. I'm not sure if this is going to pick this up. You can literally hear her as she's saying, oh, my God, I've got a match, doing this. Running on the spot like Scrappy-Doo. Let me at him, let me at him. She runs off to go and get ready. And yeah,
Staxy-Doo.
Yeah, Duke.
Moi.
Duke's like, I really think that was a good idea. Andre's just like, I made my mother's decision, Hudson. Oh, I don't like this, but I do like it because more Thea Hale on television.
Yeah, just they've charmed me. What can I say?
Yes, exactly. Another match gets set up via TikTok next. Sol Ruka and someone's doing a dance backstage at a live show or something. That's what the kids do apparently nowadays.
I'm not one for TikTok.
No, I'm too old for it.
My understanding of TikTok is that, you know, the we've got a weird fascination in what culture towers with stand-up comedy impersonators, where I can vaguely understand the appeal of cover bands.
Yes.
I want to see a David Bowie cover band.
We had Soasis play our SU when I was at uni, remember.
It's like this live music rules generally, and if you squint a bit, you know, you're there and all the rest of it. And it's just like, oh, it's fun.
Actually, best Oasis tribute act. I don't really like Oasis, but I've just seemed to have run into quite a few of them. Definitely might be.
Do you know what the Newcastle-based Oasis tribute band is definitely actually called?
Go on.
Howasis.
Yeah.
That's not bad at all.
That's good.
So I understand, right, that the appeal of a cover band, it's like if they're uncanny and it's just like, all right, okay, it's cheaper, it's not the same thing, but live music just stirs something within you, right? As does comedy, right? But, a punchline for punchline recital of jokes, which are all in the delivery, all in the timing, and all the rest of it, just simply does not work at all. And I can't remember what I'm using this as an analogy for.
What
were we talking about?
I'm thinking now about, the Peter Kay tribute act.
Yes, the Peter Kay tribute act, where he just says, garlic sauce, and it's some, and it's just some, like, fairly overweight guy. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but
no,
he passes the smell
purple
test.
Shirt on.
Purple shirt. Garlic sauce.
It's garlic bread as well. I like the fact
that's the most dad I've ever. Garlic bread. It's the future. I've tasted it. And it's like 10 people at the social club, and it's absolutely unremittingly grim.
We were talking about TikTok before that.
Right, okay. My understanding of TikTok, right, is that somehow, some way, it is this insanely popular social media platform where the crux is that you are encouraged to be the Peter Kay impersonator at the social club by simply mouthing along to other people's jokes.
Yeah.
I'm 37 years old. Maybe if I was 17 and 18, I would have thought this was good. I I'm old. I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same, right? Because, yeah, we're too old for a new version of social media. When they were like, Twitter's going down, you need to join this. I was like,
no.
I think this might be it for me if that's the case, right? But I honestly, the bits that I've seen, there's like flashes of that I've seen on TikTok. Anything that's good on TikTok will make its way onto YouTube, is my opinion, if it's actually good. Because the amount of times I've seen like 10 minutes of the funniest TikToks, and they're awful.
I just don't
get it. They're the chalk ice that your mum's got at home instead of Vine. Like, we had Vine. That was the best.
Oh, my God. I always love a little luxurious Vine compilation. Like, every quarter,
yeah,
I'll treat myself
to
that.
I'm going to drop my croissant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's absolutely great. TikTok, right? It's a cover version of 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 a joke. And when I first realized that's what it was, legitimately, and this is not a bit, even though it is a bit, I just went, huh?
Yeah, same.
So I watched this one, right, where like Instagram was suggesting things, and or like I think my wife might have been watching it or something like that. And it was like woman mouthing along to a joke. And the joke was, the husband was saying, this is so not funny as a joke, by the way. I'm not endorsing this at all. Where the husband was like, hey, baby, do you fancy a quickie? And then she went, I'm tired of quickies. I want a longie. So the idea is she wants to get vaginally penetrated for a very long period of time.
I think you found your niece on TikTok. You explaining these jokes actually quite might be good.
She wants to be vaginally penetrated for a long period of time because she wants that climax to build and build and build and build. And that rhythm is very vital in the process. You know this, Will.
Yeah, exactly.
You're an absolute purveyor.
So she can hit the absolute...
Bingo!
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the idea is if you are a Captain Cumquick or a T-Pump Chomp, then that crescendo, that climax just isn't going to happen. So that explains the joke, Will Bonks. I knew it went over your head.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want a quickie. I want a longie. And I thought, right, okay, that's not funny. TikTok's not for me. And then because the algorithm had detected I'd consumed this TikTok content. Or a reel, I think it is, on Instagram.
Yeah.
And it's random stuff. So I don't really follow anything on Instagram.
No.
So it doesn't know what I like. So this thing must be popular on the day. So I've clicked it, thought this kid likes TikTok. I was like, one, I'm 37. And two, no, I don't. And then I watched it. And then another thing popped up. I was like, I'm bored. So it's in that 6 o'clock on a weekend where I literally watch anything because I'm so exhausted.
Between the two games.
Yeah, so exhausted.
Just put out Spain and penalties.
Yeah. So I'm so exhausted from the idea of like being a parent and all the rest of it. I'll watch out. Twitter's boring us, right? Okay. Oh, it's Instagram reels, right? I don't want a quickie. I don't long it. It's like, plagiarist. I've already seen that, and that's when I realized that that's what it is. Like, the MJF mid thing, everyone was doing the promo, mouthing the promo and saying, mid. You know how he became a TikTok sensation, or his promo did? And it was loads of people going, Skyline Chili, mid. And doing his promo, but saying mid. And that mid became a TikTok thing for a while. And it was just loads of different people mouthing the promo. What is this shit?
I'm 100% with you.
Like, I don't, at least with Twitter or Facebook, right? You can sort of, my parents would never have gone on it. Wouldn't have seen the appeal. Wouldn't have been chronically addicted, right? But you could explain it to them in a language that they could easily understand why this is popular, okay? Well, what is it, son? Well, Dad, it's basically a digital hub that is a digital version of your real life where you can chat with people.
Mm-hmm.
You can, like, tell people what you're up to that day. But it's all online. And it's like, well, it's none of my business. What other people do? And I was like, well, nor is it mine, really. But people just like sharing this kind of aspect of their lives now, okay? And, you know, that's what it is.
It's not for me, son, but I know what it is.
But James is going to say, Dad, I'm the 800th person to say mid. What?
I don't get it at all.
So weird.
But Sol Ruka was recording a dance, and now we're getting our boys, Idris Anofi and Malik Blade versus other boys. Boris Johnson and Sir Wanks a lot later on in the night. And then it was time for the in-ring return of our real boy, Tony D is back in action, baby.
Baby.
And he squashed Zion Quinn in like 3 minutes.
Zion Quinn is, Yeah, they don't rate him, I don't think.
No. He got a bit of offense in, sending him into the corner, and he hit him with a Samoan drop to send Tony D to the outside. But for the most part, it was all Tony D. He's back. He's looking better than ever.
Is he?
Slugging away at the old ribs at one point. And,
pugilist.
Samoan drop sends Tony D outside, comes back in, hits a spine buster, hits that slam of his. 1-2-3. Tony D's got the win. It was all about the post-match promo, though, wasn't it?
All about it, yeah. It was all about that.
And he said, look who's back, baby.
Baby.
Hey, Stax, you see any rust in this ring? No, I don't, Dwight. I don't see any rust. You're still good, just as good, baby. Oh, me neither. Maybe Mr. X-Factor over there, but not me. I'm like a shiny new, didn't expect this one, hubcap. What? Anyway.
Because he steals hubcaps.
Yeah.
Because he's a little rascal, apparently.
Not for nothing. That's why they call me the Don of NXT. Listen, hey. During my
punches a jukebox.
That's the font.
During my physical, I gained some new revenues. Right, got some new connections. You feel me? But for us, it all came down to Wesley and that goddamn North American title. See, I was well on my way to winning that qualifying match, and then Wesley took a cheap shot and blew my knee out. Wes. You've been living on that rep. And then Wesley's music hits. He comes out and Tony thanks him for coming out to pay tribute to the Don. And Wes is like, that's not why I'm here. I have been keeping my eye on you, though, Tony, and someone else. And then Stack says, hey, kid, let me smarten you up right now. I can't really do a very good impression.
You can't really do the impression.
You better have your eyes on this guy right here because nobody bigger than you doing. And Wes says, all right, mate, chill out. Switch to decaf. He talks about this unfinished business with Dijak, obviously, when he won the title and blah, blah, blah. Oh, says Tony, Mr. High and Mighty, yes!
Fancy Dan over
your
here!
Your Majesty, let me bow before you. I am insulted.
It was a huge pop. Yeah. It was such a huge pop.
I am insulted that you think I have to wait in any goddamn line. I don't care about any business you got with Dijak. He plays by a different set of rules. Good for him, but I don't care. Yours and Dijak's business is going to have to wait for some other time. And just so happens that as he talks about Dijak, Dijak appears on the screen. He calls Tony a scumbag from the streets and tells Wesley to keep his name out of his mouth. He's got a special way, Sige, of dealing with repeat offenders. And neither of them can stop him from decimating NXT. And Stack says, yeah, well, you listen to that guy right there. The way I see it is, there's nowhere to run. And Stack jumps Wesley, but Wesley drops him and does this cool, like, weird backwards roll out of the ring before Tony can get his hands on him.
A masterpiece.
Thank you. Oh, the yes.
No, I was talking to you. This was just like, you know what, they're doing two things at once here. It's fine. They're lining up challenges, bit of continuity. Like, these characters are ridiculous.
Yes, the best.
But they're the best, other than Dijak, obviously.
Yeah.
It's so funny how, like, Dijak literally used the phrase, cleaning up the streets.
Yes.
You're the cleaner now.
Yep.
You are the leisure center, rec center, YMCA, Kenny Omega. 3 years to almost a day. No, it's a couple of months ago now.
What should we call him? Penny Omega or something? Like, he's the Penny version of Kenny Omega.
No, Penny Omega gets called that when he's finished.
Okay, sorry.
So, Penny... the wiener.
Yes.
Instead of the cleaner.
Yeah. But yeah, all in all, fantastic stuff. One of my favourite bits of this show, for obvious reasons.
That's tremendous.
Just wish, you know, we could hear a little bit more about it.
Hey, guys!
You got the Christmas spirit in you.
Whoa, baby! I heard the Matt Reeves thing about all my entrances that was absolutely spectacular.
It was very good.
Matty!
So you're the Christmas spirit?
Always, baby. I write my list of Santa on the
7th of December every year.
All right, okay. Well, today, in fact, is the 7th of December. What is on your list?
The Godfather on DVD. Fingers crossed to add to my collection.
Well, that's several technologies ago. So have you just been watching on VHS?
I taped it off the TV. I ain't got around to watching it just yet. But when I do, oh boy, what a film that's going to be.
Sorry, have you not seen The Godfather yet?
Not all the way through. What?
What?
So they share every flight it's shown on Tony D. But I am serving the customers. I get. Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, that makes sense, Stax.
Of course.
What so is anything else on your Christmas list?
A Christmas joke book. Oh, right.
You don't write your own jokes, Stax.
I just want to observe what the competition's doing.
Okay,
that makes a lot of sense. I thought you'd written yourself into a corner there for a second, Stax.
Rule of three for things. You got anything else?
Three jokes for you today.
You got anything else on your Christmas list?
A new hat and a vest. Okay, well, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Like, wear them. Are you chronically addicted to coffee? That was insinuated by Wesley last night.
Don't look at this cup. Oh, what does it say, Stax? Don't talk to me until I've had my coffee.
It's really witty, Stax.
Yeah, it's good. Especially, it's always funny when you write stuff like that in a mug, isn't it? Like those signs you hang in your house. Well, not a house.
Not a house. A home.
Yeah, that's a good point, that. Stax.
Three jokes for you, Sidgy. Who? Question number one. Who is never hungry at Christmas?
Who's never hungry at Christmas? So I'm looking for the word full. I'm looking for a pun around the word full. Full.
Santa? No, Santa's too obvious.
So is there a reindeer who's got full, like you could spin a pull?
Donna, because he's full of kebab.
That's not bad. Should we go with that, Wilborn?
Yeah, it's good. Let's try that, yeah.
Donna Kebab.
It's good, Sid, but it's not right. Who is never hungry at Christmas? It's the turkey, because he's always stuffed. Oh, yeah.
It's very obvious in retrospect, yeah.
Question number two. joke number two, Sidgy. What goes... Ow!
You? okay, so that's like Fonzie or an Italian-American caricature, which Stax is, so I think the answer is Stax. Saint Nick. Is there an Italian for Nick?
Don. Christmas Don.
Participating more these days, Wilborn.
Yeah, I thought with no hand flat. I've got access to this microphone. Stax is on that microphone.
Yeah.
I'm over here, and I'm on this one. I'm over here.
What was the joke?
What goes, ow?
Andrew Dice Clay.
Good, again, but not right. What goes, Santa walking backwards. Because he says ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Okay, final joke for you. Needed a bit of participation with you on this.
Yeah, I'm always up for that.
Because guess what? It's a knock, knock joke. Michael Sidgwick. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Honda.
Honda who?
Honda first day of Christmas. My true said to me. It's the way I...
Careful there, Stax.
See you next week, guys.
Bye, Stax.
That's good, Dad. I like the knock knock jokes. I hope he's got more of them. I think he will.
Think about knock knock jokes, I can't really guess them.
Yeah. But I sense he's got a few more of those in his locker.
Okay, but not his locker can't be full of knock knock jokes.
Maybe that'd be joke number two. Because it's better when you're guessing it. So to break up the pattern of it.
I'm happy with
not
that.
Not to tell him what I have to do his job, obviously.
Yeah. But he's got Norman Smiley to do that for him already.
Indeed.
He doesn't need us to do it on the podcast as well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Right, let's get serious, Sige. Time to return to our regularly scheduled programming, the NXT review. Scripps is, he's Stan from the Eminem song, because he's just scribbling on a notepad and writing this poem, question mark? I don't know, you're far more talented than me. Does this qualify as a poem? Do you want to hear it? And then you can analyse it if you want.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
I'm not sure legally if we're allowed to do this, but I have acquired the audio of Scripps. And, let's see what he's got to say, shall
okay,
we?
Okay.
What it means to be a star. The words you speak often define who you truly are. That light comes so quick, but then it's gone. The language you write is more important than the canvas it is written on. Mean what you say because there's weight in your words. I grew up in a place where everyone judged you on what they saw and not what they heard. NXT is now my new home. Same culture, just a different address, but a convenient one at that. There's only a chosen few that pass, but how much longer can they truly last? I must follow those that be true, but too much of the same thing make the old things feel new. So on this journey, I must target the chosen ones. For all the rest that were born in the dark and not the light, this is why I write. Sincerely, Scripps.
I've got no idea what the f*** he's talking about.
What's he saying?
I've got no idea. Like, none.
He sort of popped as well a little bit when he was talking about same culture, just a different address, but a convenient one at that.
What? I don't get it. I think there was a slight allusion to everyone burying the gear last week.
Yeah. Understandably,
where he said, I was born in a place where you were judged on how you look and not what you... I don't understand.
Judge on what people saw, not what they heard. I mean, wrestling's kind of a judge-on-what-you-see business, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I've got absolutely no idea how this relates to wrestling. I've got no idea if he's a babyface or a heel. This is someone, somewhere, on that writing staff, thinking he's clever when he isn't. Now, I know that went a while, but there was something I noticed that I would like to analyse, and I will stop it when it happens.
What it means to be a star. The words you speak often define who you truly are. That light comes so quick, but...
Wait there. Don't pop, it comes.
What it means to be a star. The words you speak often define who you truly are. That light comes so quick.
Josh Briggs. Not Brooks Jensen.
Yeah.
It comes so quick. Is that foreshadowing his first proper rival?
I hope so. Because this was... I just love the fact that I was like, it started and I was like, oh, maybe they're doing this thing where he's like, I'm changing my image now because they've seen everyone's reaction to that bloody gear. And then they just flashed up him going with his stupid gear on and the Zorro S in the sky.
It's the best thing ever, man. Scripts. I can't imagine not being so perversely entertained by it.
I'll read you the YouTube comments to this 14,000 views video on a 90 million subscriber YouTube channel here, because I really think you need to know what people are saying about this. Oh, scratch that. I tell a lie. 15,000 views. Game Over writes, honestly, this gimmick has a lot of potential. The only real problem is the attire, especially the mask. So everything. So just everything that I see, get rid of that. And oh my God, what potential this has got.
What? Another comment, please.
This is everything I ever wanted for Reggie.
All right, for Reggie. Okay. So you must hate Reggie then, because this is an absolute career killer of a gimmick. I wish those last two words didn't exist in that sentence.
The thing is, people are saying stuff like, you know, him versus Nathan Fraser is going to be a great match, and it will be, just not what Scripps is Scripps and dressed like that.
He needs to learn to lay it in.
If he's targeting anyone, writes Vincent Catalfamo, right, so if he's targeting anyone, he needs to target whichever producer in the back suggested this gimmick for him.
Yep, fair.
And folks,
Where is the lie?
So, there you go. Yeah, preposterous. And he's scribbling out some stuff, writing this crap poem.
Yeah.
I like the fact that, you know, I'm a bit of a basic bitch when it comes to poetry. Every line has to rhyme for me. Otherwise, it's just a short story that you're not bothered with. Yeah. But what winds me up more is when there's one line that's got six words in, one line that's got 20 words in. I'm like, I can't get on board. What's this structure? What are we doing here? So when he's like, you know, the light comes so quick, but then it's gone. The language you write is more important than the canvas it's written on. Like, can we not shorten that one up a little bit?
That's the thing. They're not going for like free-form visual poetry here. Like, it's meant to be very basic, and they just can't get it to, they can't cram it in.
Mean what you say, because there's weight in your words. I grew up in a place where everyone judged you on what they saw and not what they heard. Surely just write, mean what you say, because there's weight in your words. It's not about what you saw, it's about what you heard. I've already written it better.
Yeah, I know. It's absolutely farcical. This kid is no Allen Ginsberg.
But same culture, just a different address, which is convenient.
What?
Right, Hank Walker is backstage with Johnny Gipsy.
Any relation to Nathan Fraser?
Possibly, I wouldn't be surprised. This is the scene backstage last week when they're revealing the Iron Survivor people, and Hank Walker walks up to him and says, oh, yeah, I wish I could follow in my father's footsteps. I want respect. And Dempsey's like, I'll kick your ass. I'm sure you don't belong, basically, because he's a git. And he did exactly that. They had the match immediately after, well, subsequent to that. Dempsey just stretched him. I mean, Papa Regal's going to be well happy with this, because he just contorted him all over the place. Drew Gulak randomly made an appearance here. More Drew Gulak on my screen is absolutely fine by me. And looks very impressed as Dempsey's just punishing him. Walker gets a bit of offense in, but then gets hit with a dragon screw. Dempsey works the knee, bends his leg all over the place, and just when you think it can't get any worse, he starts cross-facing him at the same time and gets the submission victory.
I don't know what to say about this. He plays the part of a sadist quite well. Basically, all you need to do is study the Dynamite Kid.
Yeah.
And then you'll get the body language, not all of it down pat, to play a despicable human being. And, you know, his work looks like it hurts. That's step one, I guess. Gulak could do some mentoring thing with him. There's potential here for Summit.
Yeah, he's very talented, clearly, Charlie Dempsey. Zoe Stark says, it's all about timing. No one can touch me. I'm going to win the the Iron Survivor Challenge thing. And Grayson Waller says, I'm going to bloody win the men's one because everyone's scared of me. I love Grayson Waller, man.
He's good.
Speaking of people that I love, Pretty Deadly, it's time for their real Christmas story. And they've got a Christmas throne and they're dressed in like bloody elf outfits and they sit on each other's knees and read this Christmas story. I'm not going to read the whole thing for you because we've had enough rhyming, I think, for one show.
Yes.
But I did like, I've written a couple of nice lines down. Their bulging sacks overflowed with gifts from their legions of fans, which they couldn't bear to handle because it's been touched by their filthy hands. Just a nice little reminder. We are heels because I love them so much I forget that I'm meant to boo them sometimes. Patiently waiting for the greatest gift of all. And it's not for you lot to stop saying soccer because it's football.
Yeah.
That spoke to me. Basically, no one's better than them. And 2023, just like 2022, is going to be Pretty Deadly's year. Who on earth could challenge them? The New Day, apparently. Huge pair, but
Xavier
obviously.
Xavier Woods is a tire, man. Yeah,
great stuff. They come out and they hear, what the guys have been talking about, and they wonder who will fight Pretty Deadly at Deadline for the tag titles at the weekend. And it is going to be the New Day because they've beaten everyone, but they ain't beaten them. And Pretty Deadly attack them, turns into a brawl. Elton gets thrown into the tree that's in the ring. Kip gets a present chucked at his face. And in the end, they get chucked out of the ring. They're on the apron. Presents slammed over their heads and then super kicked off them. I was surprised by this, but I did enjoy it. So I just did not see this one coming. I'll say that.
Look, I'll tell you what. The brawl was really fun.
Yeah.
Stupid, but fun. There's going to be drama out the ass for the match at Deadline because I'm thinking, you don't want to beat the New Day. Are they there yet? Are they Dolph Ziggler now in the WWE system? They've been going for years. Maybe this is their use, but they were once so over. Like, it's with all due respect to Dolph Ziggler, he was never as over as the New Day were as consistently as the New Day were. So this will scan way more as a shock if Pretty Deadly beat them, even if it's by cheating. So you can't imagine that they'd waste the New Day on NXT. Because, again, Ziggler's not someone who you can make money with on the main roster or merchandise or draw anything. Like, the New Day could come up with a new joke or a new prop and he could shift merch.
And when he's ready to come back, they're going to
be... Exactly, yeah. So it's a bold one and it's a weird one. It completely took me aback.
Do you think this is shoot because of the fact that they were going to do the locker room leaders versus Diamond
Mine?
And yet again, WWE go, oh, we can't let the fans down. Let's just pull this mint thing out of the bag.
Yeah.
I love it, and I hope it's getting Pretty Deadly ready for going to the main roster, because they're ready for
me. Absolutely ready. No, I was taken aback by this. I really enjoyed the brawl. I think there's going to be loads of drama. A massive shock. Like, genuinely really well done. I'll tell you what. It just shows how absolutely below the radar of anything NXT is now. Do you know? Well, you will be, because you're on Twitter, and you hear me ranting about it in the office. Whenever AEW has the absolute temerity to do the same thing twice. My God, it's like they've spilled chemicals.
Yes.
In a lake and killed like all the wildlife there. And it's like a really shocking transgression. And they've killed a guy. That's what they've done.
Mm.
Oh my God, he did the same thing twice on one show. Well, it's a disgrace and you've killed someone. Oh, there's two concurrent recruitment gimmicks. I mean, I don't like when they do that, but come on, fuck's sake. Two concurrent recruitment gimmicks. Yeah, well, that's what happens when it's been proven time and time again that stables, and in the case of Hangman Page, a support system is like vital to your progression in your career. So, of course, people want to recruit people, whatever. Yes, doing it twice on the same episode of the same show is a bit much, but come on, no one died. It's two matches where you've used a Canadian destroyer. That's why the business is in the place it is, earning more revenue than ever before. Whatever. No one ever, except for me, to make a stupid point, will ever point out in a million times, yeah, one too many poems on this show. Two poems. Can't do that. That's the end of the world. Like, Jesus Christ, at my kyak.
I mean, technically...
Have the same standards, though, you know what I mean? Have the same standards.
Yeah. It was a poem and a story, but I'm not going to get
into
it.
Yeah, they both rhymed.
Granted.
Oh, there's two incidences of rhyming on this show. That's why wrestling's in the state it is right now.
Two incidents of rhyme. Now that's a crime. I'd pick that up for what's about to come, by the way. Isla Dawn cut a creepy promo. Hope Alba Fire's watching. But before she can have a match with Thea Hale, Mackenzie Mitchell is pissing off Big Body Javi again. He's sneaking about backstage. She makes him jump. She says, "Are you looking out for the locker room leaders? You know, keep an eye, you know. Why are you so jumpy?" And he says, "That's insensitive. I've got an uncontrollable twitch. I don't fear anyone. Locker room leaders, Indus Sherry calls them, but they're the locker room leaders. Don't want any of me. And you're biased. Piss off, basically." And so Mackenzie grabs Ichabod Jiro. Remember him? He's walking.
Ichabod Jiro, he is my hero.
Another rhyme. Careful. Right.
Where's Lash Legend?
Good point. He's asked what he thinks of Big Body Javi, and he gets the Big Body Javi two-thirds right. He says, "Big Body Chicken."
I wanted to die. I wanted to die. This is so bad. They had something, and they've ran it into the ground with this.
Wait a second. Are we talking about the same product?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. They had something where, right, Mackenzie Mitchell, the idea is, my guest at this time is such and such. He's going to say something, and for 5 seconds of incredibly unnatural close-up action, I'm going to be a little bit like perturbed by what that person said. That was the role of the interviewer under Papa H. They're sassy, and they've got a real personality, and yes, this is the direction it should take, but taking it too bloody far, the idea that she outwardly hates this guy and is trying to do terrible comedy around her hatred of him is just not how this dynamic is meant to be. And I don't find it funny. I don't find it charming. I don't feel like it's a good bit at all. And then chicken.
The only thing this was missing was a chicken noise. I genuinely astonished that didn't come out. I've never understood why that is used as a device in films and TV shows. Do this insanely stupid thing that is risking life and limb. No, why would I do that? Oh, I'll do anything. What? Just because they made a chicken noise?
I've got a story, right, that actually proves that this works on some people.
Yeah.
But it's for after the podcast. It's private business.
That'll be on our Patreon, no doubt. Don't worry, we're not going to do that. Isla Dawn.
I can't make any promises.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Never say never.
Isla Dawn with the stacks tier. You get a personalized joke every goddamn day for the rest of your goddamn life. Isla Dawn versus Thea Hale. Scrappy do, unfortunately, despite showing a ton of fire. And
I'm going to do a preview for the Stacks Patreon, okay?
Okay.
Why does the number one Sidgwick mega fan leak? A person leaking. Picture that.
Why? Well, I don't know. Why does the number one Sidgwick mega fan leak?
Because when it rains, it pours. Ow! It's the way I f***ing tell them.
Good stuff, that. That's a really good Stacks impression. I can't do it.
What was it? Quiz moves.
Isla Dawn destroyed Thea Hale in 3 minutes, hit her with a sit-out reverse DDT. Two, actually, just to really hammer home the point that she was dead. Dominant first match for her. I like the look of Isla Dawn, I've got to be honest. Then post-match, smoke, lights. What's going on? It's Alba Fire.
Christ almighty, so amateur.
She comes in, the referees...
So hokey.
The referees separate them. And then one of the referees gets misted. I love a mist. It's a cheat code for me. Anything mist-related, great.
Ordinarily.
Mm.
But the wacky smoke machines and the glitchy LED boards suck my cack.
Like, what do you reckon to Isla Dawn in ring, though? I mean, she's very talented, isn't she?
Yeah, very talented. She'll be good. It's just hokey is all hell and not for me.
Yeah. So we've had Zoe Stark. We've had Cora Jade. Next up, it is Kiana James to put over her chances in the Iron Survivor Challenge. She said there's four lambs in the ring and lambs get slaughtered. It's all about strategy and business, and she's good at that because she does the business. She's got the advantage. She's going to send them into the penalty box. I love her penalty box. One by one. Then talks about the celebration party and turns to her assistant.
Oh, my God.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was a Christmas party sound effect, that.
All right, okay. Well, that must exist on the soundboard elsewhere.
Yeah, let me...
Because otherwise you're just being pervy.
Mm, yeah, that wouldn't be that, so...
What it mean?
No, that's... Scripts.
So what happened to the other sound effect?
Scripts must have hacked it. She can turn dirt into diamonds and sand into gold. She's going to be an Iron Survivor, and she sends the assistant off with a little envelope. More on that in a short while.
How long? Because Jesus Christ, this podcast is going long.
Well, first, we got to go into the forest to meet the bird person who's going to debut next week.
We've already met her.
It's even better than what you described, and obviously what I saw on last week's show.
Yeah, yeah.
Our boys, Idris and Ophin, Malik Blade, with Odyssey Jones, their new mate, of course.
I think I'm getting a sty. That's the last thing I want.
Yeah. Oof.
That's not the last thing. You know, I don't want it.
Yeah. And Boris Johnson, Sir Lancelot, that's who they're facing because of the argument, the TikTok thing that I mentioned earlier. I will say Malik Blade hit a hell of a drop kick early on. He's a very talented individual. They both are. I love Blade and Anofe. Full disclosure, I missed part of the match. I got distracted right around the time that Kiana James' assistant came and put the envelope in Briggs' coat pocket.
Bingo!
I wasn't sure if it was bingo related. That's why I pressed that button. You know, could be an invite to a bingo game. Blade hit a moonsault to the floor to take out Briggs. Inofe hit a nice top rope elbow. I thought that was going to be the finish, to be honest. But no, Jensen kicks out. And then Von Wagner shows up to brawl with Odyssey Jones. That distracts the Blade and Inofe team. And they hit the high-low, do Boris Johnson and Sir Lancelot to get the 1-2-3.
Some of the stuff here missed by Miles, which if you were paying attention, Jim Ross, you might have noticed. And look, I see minimal progression from Anofi and Blade, if I'm being perfectly honest. It's a shame because they've got abundant potential. We were drawn to them pretty much immediately. Put them in a New Japan dojo or send them on excursion or just do something that isn't the performance center.
I should just get that on a button, shouldn't I?
Imagine
save time.
Yeah.
Put them in the New Japan dojo. Yeah.
Can you imagine what it's like to be in this performance center with all these wild characters?
I mean, I'd have the time of my life.
You'd love it.
Yeah. If only I could wrestle.
Well, half of these can't, yeah. So.
By the way, the mystery envelope...
Bingo!
...wasn't to a game for bingo. It was the VIP ticket to NXT Deadline for Sir Lancelot. I love this slow burn. It's so brilliant. Like, it's all about the bar, Fallon Henley's bar, of course, and one of them's getting their head turned by Kiana James and her assistant. I think it's fantastic long-term storytelling, this.
So should we preview what... When's deadline?
Saturday.
Right, so we might as well preview what's going to happen there now. There's going to be some kind of skit where Hamflet's... It was Hamflet's idea? Hamflet had an idea where... They were going to do this thing, like, okay, we're going to get down to business and maybe... Briggs can be lured into the assistant, the boudoir. She could potentially wear some kind of silk dressing gown short with some lingerie underneath. Why are you looking like that in your face?
So I was just thinking about what I've got to do for the rest of today.
Right, okay. And then she's like, right, okay. It's 2022. Do you consent to the fact that I'm going to shag your brains out? And he's gonna go, hot damn, Miami! Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna get my cock wet, man.
It's a bit Uncle Howdy, that the man.
I'm just a man. I'm just the ghost of the man who got his cock wet, of course.
Oh my God, so close, Uncle Howdy.
There'll be people online who'll probably make that connection.
Is that not a tear then? Is that another bottle blowing on his face?
Oh my God, I just burnt my biscuit.
Like this, you know, there's something about Mary when it's on his ear.
Yeah.
That's on Uncle Howdy.
Oh my God, I just chucked the chicken and wouldn't you just know it, the yolk is going down my eye. And then it turns out it's the deeds to the bar.
Exactly. Very good. I like that. Sorry, we lost
our way. That was Hamlet's fantasy.
We lost our way there.
We lost our way, I would say, around about the time that NXT 2.0 premiered.
Exactly, yeah.
It's gone into complete self-parody ever since that day.
If only we could have seen into the future like Apollo Crews. Roxanne Perez does hers. This has been her dream. She wants another shot on Mandy Rose. She should win, if I'm perfectly honest, the Iron Survivor Challenge on the women's side of things. Absolutely, she should be the next challenger and probably the next champion. But she's also apparently Mojo Rawley talking into a mirror for some reason here. I thought it was a weird thing. You could have just had her say, you know, she's a nice, she's the new Bayley, in my opinion. Pure white meat baby face. You don't have to do it, be all like, the only person that's stopping me is me. And I'm looking in the fucking mirror for some reason. Just have her do a very old
school.
How
would you know without the visual cue of the mirror?
Wank. Just have her just say, I'm gonna try my best and I'm gonna try and win. Like, I like her and I accept of what she is. I'm not going to go, oh, well, it's a bit corny. It's Roxanne Perez. She's just a lovely baby face with no flaws. So, there you go. I don't understand all this. But... And then again, I don't think you need the Iron Survivor Challenge, to be honest, to switch to the championship. You could just had Roxanne Perez say, well, I'm next because I keep winning, but still. Speaking of the Iron Survivor Challenge, we need the final wild card entrant on the women's side of things. And we said, well, one thing we know is definitely not going to be is Indy Hartwell winning this match. Could be Wendy Chu, could be Fallon Henley, but it's definitely not going to be Indy Hartwell. So Indy Hartwell won the triple threat match here. Good fun stuff again here. There was a headlock takeover. Always good, one of those, from Wendy Chu. There's a double roll-up at one point. I like that from Hartwell, and we see Toxic Attraction watching in that Toxic Lounge. I did like the bit where Booker T on commentary was like, how do I get myself in that Toxic Lounge? And Vic Joseph sort of wistfully said, oh, that's Wade Barrett. I felt like, oh, you've lost your mate, haven't you? There's a big Tower of Doom spot to take everyone out. Chu hits a moonsault press, easy for me to say, onto Fallon Henley, but gets chucked out of the ring by Hartwell, and Hartwell hits the hidden blade, basically, to the back of Henley's head and gets the 1-2-3. Hartwell advances, and she went and told Mandy Rose after this, I'm going to win this, and I'm going to beat you. TikTok.
I don't want to be abrupt here, because I do think that I saw a better level of performance on the part of Indy Hartwell in particular than I have in recent weeks. However, across, I watched Raw on a Tuesday morning, it's on a Wednesday morning, I watched 4 triple threat matches in a 24-hour period. Therefore, I just was so familiar with the rhythms and the tropes and the sequences in this sort of match that I was just like a precog. As if you're not already, but like you're more willing to suspend your disbelief. I was like, that's going to be a save. And I was programmed to know when they were coming. And that's what happens when you book 4 of the fucking things on 2 consecutive episodes of WWE product.
Yeah, I think it's a fair assessment. I was surprised that Indy Hartwell won this, but pleasantly surprised because, like you say, I thought this was a far better showing than her. We've seen from her recently. Main event time, and of course the main event is the Grayson Bloody Waller effect. It's Grayson, and it's the other 4 lads who are in the Iron Survivor Challenge. Full disclosure, and it's getting on a bit, I didn't write a lot of this down, because it was just, I'm going to be you, and 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 I'm going to be the winner of the Iron Survivor. It was all them saying it. Axiom's a babyface, so he doesn't bury anyone. But everyone else is like, I mean, Mello's great, obviously. And JD McDonough's a bastard. And, you know, Joe Gacy's a weirdo. And Grayson Waller's the best. Personified by one of the few things I did write down was his introduction for all of his opponents. He was like, so I'm in it. I'm great. I'm mint. Get the camera on me. Axiom's in it. The only man who can attempt to pull off a turtleneck in 2022. Yeah. Got Joe Gacy, who's part of... I mean, he basically said the jism at one point and said he went from a sociopath to a psychopath. He called JD McDonough a garden gnome and he said Mello's gone from a champ to a loser, which is the only...
They've punned that so many times and derivations of it. Look...
I just want to get one thing out before we wrap this up, because they're all doing, I'm going to win. Grayson Waller is the patter merchant here. Mello is the only believable one for me in all this. But Grayson Waller had a line that should get a huge pat from you and our regular listeners, because he said, you know, look, I ain't Survivor Challenge. None of us have been in it before. You'll remember your first, except you, fat boy, on the front row. You ain't never f***ed nobody. He didn't say that explicitly, but he said fat boy hadn't had sex. I think that was the implication.
Yeah, I think the implication is that he's never been committed to insert to messened cock into someone's minge.
You're going to make another point about this? Yeah, they all said, I'm going to win, and then they got in a big brawl to close the show.
I'll tell you something. Quickly, before we wrap up, you can follow me at M. Sidgwick. I am hungry.
let's wrap this thing up.
I did appreciate, the fact that they debated the merits of which number you were drawn.
Yes, that was
so good. They clarified that, you know what? If you enter last, you get fewer opportunities to do the pinning. But if you enter first... there's more risk of you getting pinned and going into the penalty box. So look, it would still make way more sense if it was just five to start with, but still, they could really do something crazy American sports adjacent here. Like points, penalty boxes, loads of rules and convoluted, and it just all converges to make this dripping with with dramatic opportunity, okay? This could be good. It could be a complete mess, but it could also be good.
And most importantly, it's got a time limit, which is always good.
Yeah, I love a time limit. They haven't teased a time limit drawn ages in AEW. That's another thing that they bloody need. These great concepts that they just senselessly abandoned. Mm.
And also
Eliminators now. Great.
And also just, putting limits on how far Triple H can go with matches is always a good thing, in my opinion.
Yes.
Right. Well, let us know your thoughts on everything we've discussed. It feels like I've covered a year of content, if I'm perfectly honest. Which is, we always say this, like Raw, so long and stretching, and then this is like 3 weeks worth of content combined into 2 hours. And it's the best. It's the wrestling buffet, the true wrestling buffet. Let us know your thoughts on the NXT review on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M. Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and Sidgwick are going to be back to preview AEW Dynamite. And me and Sidgwick are going to be joined by Andy Murray to discuss the state of AEW Rampage in a roundtable a little bit later on today as well. But for now, this has been the NXT review. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick, to Stax for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Stax.
Thank you for joining us as well. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.